I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
Let me tell you something, Carl. Can I call you, Carl? I believe it was Boyz II Men who said it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday.
You listen to Boyz II Men?
Well, of course I do. I'm Arthur Blank. I listen to everything from Paul Anka to Boyz II Men. It's very soothing. I like Dimitrov. I liked him like his son. Sure, sometimes I said enough with the hair products and the glasses, for crying out loud. You're a general manager.
Wait a minute. You never said that, Arthur. That was Bell who said that.
I believe Bell is now channeling his personality through me. I looked Thomas in his beady little eyes and I said, I can't quit you.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We're on the verge of hopefully hiring a new coach soon. How soon? Who knows, Mike? I mean, hell, we could be having dinner tonight and this thing breaks. Right. Who knows when it's going to happen, all right?
Hey,
relax.
I got guys. It's amazing. As Squid really said it, man. The world, real quick, you know, in the old days, like, there'd be rumors about something, and eventually we'd get some steam, and people start reporting it. Reports are that he's going to be, not confirmed by the team. And not only now, we've got guys that are, they've already doubled down on Arthur Smith. He's using the Falcons for leverage on another job. That's why he hasn't signed the deal.
He canceled the interview with the Lions, guys.
Right. Just relax. I mean, we're all anxious about, the next season, where we're going, you know, and I get guys go, can we get a running back? I go, yeah, if you commit to it by the second round, no later, you can get an impact running back. Guys, let's let it play out. Maybe I'm getting older, Carl, and I'm not saying I'm getting mellower, because, you know, I still lose my mind over simple things like the Falcons, United, the Braves, you know, but I'm just saying, let's let it play out. I don't know enough about this guy to hate the pick. We've given you some of the positives about the pick. You know, and if that is the guy, you know, and we've given you some positives. If you miss Bobby Hebert, he will further explain why he likes Fontenot for our job here in the Falcons as GM.
Coming up in 20 minutes, you will hear from Bobby Hebert. He joined us late in the show yesterday. Just great info. And again, you know, he's relating this to the Saints and how they've gotten back to this point. As much as we dislike them, and there is a rivalry, and it is legitimate, they have owned this rivalry for the last 4 years. They've been the better team, you know, and we haven't been in the playoffs the last three. So it's one of those things where you go, look at them, look at us. How much better are they, and how did they get there? And part of them getting there was Terry Fontenot. So you'll hear that coming up here on the show. More on Arthur Smith as well. Again, the reports are, and we've been talking about it now for hours, is that he will become the next head coach of the Falcons, but it is not official yet. So we're awaiting official word, but yeah, just chill, man. It's all good. Meanwhile, other things going on. Deshaun Watson, active on Twitter, responding and saying that he's at 10, his level of frustration and how upset he is. He's at 10.
Was that the line from Jules Winfield? I'm a TNT dropping mother. I'm the Guns of Navarone. When they were cleaning up the car after they shot the, anyway. I'm laughing because Deshaun Watson, we always joke around about this, like with Matt. And Matt's a different style guy. I'd love to see, I'd love to know if Ryan's going to Arthur going, hey, get me this guy. I can work with that guy. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, the tail should wag the dog, but when you're the franchise quarterback going back to 2008, I would think he's got some say in this, right?
I would think so. So his last tweet was about 14 minutes ago, and I'm guessing this is his mind state. For those of you who are into future, you know future, Atlanta, come on, stand up. Morilla vibes is what he says. And he says future Morilla vibes. If you're familiar with that, you'll know what he's talking about. But that's his last tweet after saying, I was on two, Then I took it to 10. Okay? So that's what he's...
Jules, I'm a race car in the red, and a race car should not be in the red.
And we're only saying this because all the rumors out there about Deshaun Watson wanting out and where could he possibly end up. By the way, that could change the whole face of a franchise. Somebody hit me up and they said, Dukes, they sent me a picture of him in a throwback 49ers jersey. And they were like, imagine. Yeah, because I think the 49ers are looking for a quarterback, you know?
Wow.
So, I mean,
would they riot on the streets in Houston the way this thing has gone south? First, you lose D-Hop. And no, I mean, there's no way. No way. I think that Deshaun is lobbying for a guy like Bienemy, I would think.
I do, too. I think he wants to get what he wants at head coach. And we'll see if that happens. But, you know, again, until somebody, you know, interviews him and he says as much, all of it is speculation right now. It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're keeping you updated on the Falcons. We're going to talk more NFL playoffs on the way. Bobby Hebert is coming up. But right now, let's talk some college football and dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you by friends at Brightbox.
B-R-I-T-E, brightboxelectrical.com, guys, for a... excuse me, for man caves, for everything you need, buddy.
Well,
he just jumped up and I lost my headphones for a second. Oh. If you're watching on Twitch right now, the dogs just jumped up here. Please, Ike, go to brightboxelectrical.com, guys, B-R-I-T, and get that man cave you've always wanted.
So let's start with the dogs.
And here comes the wife. And by the way, now here comes Becky, guys, on Twitch to go get the dog out of my office.
Oh.
And there he goes. See
you,
buddy.
Becky, be gentle. Jeez.
Oh, hey, easy now. That's my dog. See, I get all the fun stuff, and she has to be the bad cop.
Wow. She pulled Ike out of there like, get you up out of here. Man.
She's from Pittsburgh, nice, man. She don't play, man.
All right. Let's talk about the dogs first and foremost. Dan Lanning has emerged as a favorite for the D.C. role, defensive coordinator at the University of Texas. Our buddy Dennis Dodd is also reporting this. And Georgia fans, you guys know, Lanning's 34, came from Memphis. Kirby, you know, plucked him off the Memphis staff back, I think, was 17. Long story short, he's helped Georgia have some really good defenses. I think they were 12th nationally this year. We think they're going to be better next year. I thought they were overhyped to start the season and then got exposed. Either way, he is a hot commodity, Mike, and I think Texas would pay him more money than what Georgia is going to potentially pay him unless they are willing to match. We'll see what happens, but Georgia could be looking, if this plays out, for a new defensive coordinator.
And has Kirby got the juice now where he can plug in the next guy?
He does.
You know, and you could, I mean, you could do one of two things, as you said. You can match or you can spend more money or maybe similar money on another guy to come in. You know, we're still waiting to see Todd Monken really get things rolling. Now they've got the quarterback. But on the defensive side, I'm with you. I thought at times they looked really stout. Randy Mack, I've heard him talk about it a lot. At times, the secondary, we knew we were going to, you know, have some issues there at times. You know, you got guys like Monty Rice. And, you know, will he be a three-down linebacker in the NFL? Probably not. But, I mean, he was pretty stout for the Dogs. But do you feel – what would you give him a ranking? Like, say, you know, like a B-plus for the defense this year under Dan Lanning?
Well, we started the offseason saying this should have been Kirby's best defense since he's been there. Then the season played out, and with the elite offenses, they got exposed. You know, the mediocre to average teams – they dominated, but, I mean, that's what we're talking about. If you're going to be in that college football playoff, you're going to be playing some elite offenses. And, yeah, I would give them a B minus maybe overall. But when you look at their national ranks, you know, third in 2019, that is why we thought they would have the best defense. They finished nationally third in 2019 with Lanning calling the plays. And then coming into this year, we were like, man, they got these guys coming back. And it's almost like they took a step back.
Now, hey, if you're just behind, by the way, if you want to get into the numbers, just behind Alabama, they were at 19.9. Alabama was 19.5 points allowed. I mean, we can look at all the other metrics, you know, rushing, passing. But, I mean, the one that matters to me is how many points you've given up.
No doubt. So we'll see what happens with Dan Lanning. But and Lanning's an interesting story because he's a fairly young dude. I mean, he's 34. He's got a great story about how he got into college football. And then he's worked his butt off, and he's done a really good job. So it wouldn't surprise me, because I know what Texas is paying coordinators, that this would be a significant raise for him to take that move, and we'll see how it plays out. But it's one of those things we say, a developing
story.
All right, man, let's talk about what else is going on in college football, including Dan Mullen at Florida, Mike, allegedly trying to revamp the D-line through the transfer portal. Now, we're seeing more and more of this, right? Guys are in the portal. Instead of me recruiting guys or trying to, you know, go get guys to flip, I'm just going to go in the portal and bring in a couple of guys. And, you know, the Gators officially welcome former Auburn defensive tackle Daquan Newkirk to the program. And then they got another guy from Penn State, a tackle that's coming in, Antonio Shelton. So they're trying to redo this line with some guys that have some experience, been in other major programs. I don't know if it'll work, but you said it. This is the new college football.
I'm just curious to see, you know, Dan Mullen and now Trask. And by the way, I thought Trask, you know, if you take away the LSU game, could he have made it a more of a horse race for the Heisman?
Yes.
You know, and but that's on the permanent record, to your point, so it didn't happen. But, yeah, now you've got to go and develop your next quarterback. And Dan Mullen, strange season this year. You know, I mean, now I understand maybe why Jeremy Foley, when he was there, was a little lukewarm about him. Look, no one debates, you know, he's a good strategist, but sometimes he gets a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
You know, but then I thought the effort they gave in the SEC championship game was unbelievable. You know, to battle is like they did with Alabama, you know, after we kind of left them for dead after the LSU game.
Man, but they played great. That was a great game, Mike. That championship game. Florida didn't quit. They kept scoring. I mean, they did. Let's be honest. They did what Ohio State couldn't do against Alabama, right?
Right.
They kept scoring. They stayed in the game. Ohio State, they just got stifled. But, yeah, man, I think, again, just out loud about, you know, what Dan Mullen's trying to do defensively here is he's bringing guys in through the portal. I still have, if you were to ask me right now, and this may change, you know, in 2 months, but it's Georgia in the East. It's Florida and then everybody else, because I don't even know what's going to happen at Tennessee yet. I still don't know how that's going to play out.
Yeah, talk about rumors. My God, they're talking about everything from this internal investigation that you're trying to find show cause to get Pruitt off the books. That, you know, we joked around yesterday that, what I say, Kevin Steele's the sleeper agent.
Yep.
You know, like Kevin Steele, you know, that's got to be awkward, those meetings. But it's Pruitt, you and I, we've said it before, we'll say it again. We thought he was going to be the right guy because he had a little bit of, like, you know, the attitude of Saban. He was trying to drag Mark Richt's program there when he was here at Georgia and try to get that, you know, what good Kirby eventually did bring. But, yeah, not happening, is it? Just not happening.
It's really not. Justin Ross is coming back, Mike. What a story this
is. Great news.
Spinal injury. You guys might remember he was Clemson's best receiver. We're going back 2 seasons ago now. And Justin Ross missed this season with that spinal condition. He's going to return to the team this next year, 2021. Incredible.
So you'll see him against the Dogs, man, up in Charlotte to start the season with DJ Ugalele. Chris, how do I say it?
Ungalele.
Uwe Ungalele, Carl.
Yep.
I've got to memorize that. Uwe Ungalele. But anyway, by the way, you know, we just kind of moved on from the Ohio State game over Clemson. Does Venables and that defense have to kind of retool?
Yes, absolutely. I think so.
I mean, they got physically, in the games they lost, they got thrown around at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, I thought so too, Mike. And again, I haven't looked at their entire recruiting class and what they have coming in. You know, quarterback, fine. Now you got, you know, Justin coming back. Wide receiver, great. They're like Alabama and Georgia. They're going to have running backs, but I haven't looked up front.
But ETN finally moves on to the NFL.
Yeah, I don't know what they've got coming back as far as up front. But, yeah, I thought they got out physical in those games. There's no doubt. Right. Hey, real quick, I do want to mention this. And you know, it's funny because guys put this on Twitter like millions can't see it or thousands of our listeners are not looking at this stuff. But Cade hits us up and says, just so y'all know, and I'm going to read this because this is not us saying. This is Cade. I don't know if this is fact. I've not been told this. But he says Will Muschamp's already on staff in a defensive role. It's just been kept quiet. He's talking about Georgia.
Right.
So if Lanning leaves, you have your guy. Now, I will say this, Cade, and again, you may have privy to information we don't have, and that's fine. I don't know if that's true. Lanning, as of right now, still the D.C. He may be in Texas. This makes total sense, though, because Kirby and Muschamp are friends, and they go way back. So it wouldn't surprise me one bit.
There was an article from, I think, dawnofthedog.com saying that, you know, again, because of the salary considerations, that obviously Lanning would have to be off the books before Muschamp could officially be on the books.
All right, a little future for you. As Deshaun Watson has spoken, he's not at 2 anymore. He's at 10. All right, we're keeping an eye out.
Don't push me because I'm close to the edge.
Hey, Mike, Raheem Morris is going to interview for the D.C. job in Jacksonville.
All right, man. I know they're going to hire Charlie Strong apparently on that staff as well as, I guess, coaching linebackers right now.
So this is this would be Urban Meyer's staff. All right.
What about Raheem, man?
Yeah, absolutely. We wish him the best. What about our staff? All right. Listen to what Bobby Hebert has to say about how the Saints were built, who's behind it, the guy we're getting, and that Marcus Davenport dude. It's next. So we're trying to figure out more information about what's going to happen once Terry Fontenot takes this job, because he's reported to be the front runner. Not only that, the New Orleans Saints are in the playoffs again for a chance to get to the NFC Championship game, but they got to get past the Bucs. There's nobody better to talk to than our buddy, Bobby Hebert, who joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline, your Ford dealer at Wade Ford. And Bobby, first and foremost, I mean, what do you know about the inner workings between Mickey Loomis and Terry Fontenot, whose name has become a hot commodity now as these general manager's jobs have opened up?
Well, between Mickey Loomis, Terry Fontenot, and Jeff Ireland, you know, being part of the Saints organization, they're like the poster child how you run a team. I mean, when you look at Terry Fontenot, any stud pro, because he was in charge of pro personnel, that ended up with the Saints, like DeMario Davis, whoever, even, you know, Quan Alexander. Now, mm-hmm. I know he got hurt,
right?
But even when he came on board. So you look at any NFL player that ends up on the Saints, you might say, well, how in the hell the Saints got him? That's Terry Fontenot working his magic. And he's been doing that a long time. You know, Jeff Ireland's primarily dealing, you know, with the college scouting, and Mickey overlooks all of them. But, no, when you have success, everybody wants to copy what you're doing, and no one has won more games than the Saints the last four seasons. So that doesn't surprise me. He's up and coming, and, well, you can't get more Louisiana. I wonder if in Atlanta, Georgia, they know how to pronounce Fontenot. But they might be butchering that name.
No, you know, like, come on, Bobby.
Well, no, you have some people that they wouldn't put that little French accent, Fontenot. You know, like how do you get Hebert out of Hebert? You know, stuff like that.
Right. So,
no, he's homegrown, Lake Charles, Louisiana, but he knows football. I know Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis, they trust him because he knows what the hell he's doing.
Well, Bobby, as we say, and I always think back to like the Seinfeld episode, Carl, with George Seinfeld. The quarterback of the Saints is Bobby Hebert. You know, it's spelled Herbert.
H-E-B-E-R-T.
We used to play that all the time when Bobby did the post game for the Falcons. But anyway, yeah, but Bobby, I mean, the thing is, if we joked around, if we can't beat you, let's hire you. I mean, we've been, you know, we know
Amen.
What the Saints have been doing, right? Let's rock and roll. Here's the thing, though. What's his philosophy going to be? I mean, we got Matt. We're trying to get a few more good years out of Ryan. You can't do anything with him and Julio's contract. So how do you think he's going to approach the Falcons? Best guess.
He would take Matt Ryan, that he knows that Sean Payton will want Matt Ryan and the Falcons don't want him. You know,
right.
I think he could. Sean Payton would think, and Fontenot knows this, that Sean Payton could turn him into that MVP type season, you know, that he had. So, no, that's not the problem. You got to get the pieces around them. And the reason why the Saints are winning is because they're winning in the trenches, offensive, defensive line, and the impact. And you know what's the craziest thing? You look at the Saints' defense with the rule changes this day and age. They have not given up a 300-yard passer for 21 straight games. That's almost unbelievable. In this day and age, you look like Matt Ryan, you look at Tom Brady. Stafford, whoever. Nobody is thrown for 300 yards. Watch, they're going to get thrown for 300 yards. But it's all about winning in the trenches. And it just top to bottom. You know, it's a copycat league, whether you look at plays and how you design plays and, you know, what Sean Payton's doing. Sean Payton steals plays all the time. Then you implement it into your scheme. But it's also what you do in the personnel department. And if anybody's bitching about the Saints right now, they're just a hater. I tell them they got to go. I mean, you know, I got to tell you this quick story. They had this kid. I guess he's a kid, a young adult. He was Keith from Kenner. And the glass was never half full. It was always half empty. After the Saints won the Super Bowl, now this is over a decade. Now you're looking at 11 years. I swear he calls up 4 days after the Saints won the Super Bowl. He goes, hey, Bobby. Yeah, but what the Saints going to do next year? he could not even enjoy the moment. I go, Keith, what? You must be miserable in life. I mean, come on. It ain't even a week. And what are they going to do next year? Now, you got to live in the moment, and the Saints have been living in the moment now. You know, Teron Armstead, everyone, all their leaders are saying Super Bowl or bust, and that's where they're at right now. I mean, look, Tom Brady went to the Buccaneers to go to the Super Bowl, and the Saints had the same approach that they have. And it's hard to sweep the division. That's what the Saints did this year. I thought they would split with the Buccaneers, and, you know, Tampa Bay wasn't quite together. They beat them by 11 points. But at Tampa, they smoked them.
Right.
It wasn't even close. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen. I kind of agree with Vegas. A field goal type game. Hopefully Will Lutz is not missing because I think it's going to come down to that.
Bobby Hebert, our guest, guys. We're talking about the Saints, his insight, obviously, into the front office and what's going on there. Is the word is out that we're going to be hiring, at some point, Terry Fontenot, who's going to be our new general manager. I want to ask you about, you know, when you look at this Saints team and you talk about them being built in the trenches, the defensive line, I mean, let's just go guy by guy, right? Cam Jordan, dude. But it's the other guys, right, that have really contributed,
right,
Bobby, that you go, damn, look at all this production we're getting from the other guys. I expect Cam to do his thing. What about these other guys?
Well, Trey Hendrickson. People don't even know who Trey Hendrickson is. You have somebody who's casually a football fan. Where did Trey Hendrickson go to college? They would never guess Florida Atlantic. I mean, you know, he was tied with Aaron Donald with sacks, 13.5. He's only behind T.J. Watt. I mean, that's and I can tell you, the offensive tackle with Tampa Bay can't block him. And I know he'll be having trouble sleeping Saturday night going against Trey Hendrickson. You can't double-team everyone. And even in the middle, they've been stout. Talk about a diamond in the rough. This is the kind of player that the Saints find. David Onyemata is still learning how to play football. He comes out of Africa. He goes to Canada, goes to high school there. He don't even know the rules. He still thinks football is soccer. And he's just a beast, a great individual. Sheldon Rankins had a big game last year. Last weekend against the Bears, living up to expectations. You know, it's a great addition. Got to give Terry Fontenot a lot of credit. Who you think got Malcolm Brown to come with the Saints from the Patriots? Terry Fontenot. Mm-hmm. Malcolm Brown, when the Saints are truly stuffing the run, Malcolm Brown doesn't get any credit, but he's doing all the work. But a linebacker's to flow, always disruptive, dominating double teams. No, so those are guys like David Onyemata, Malcolm Brown, Sheldon Rankins. Because Cam Jordan's an all-pro. He's beyond a Pro Bowler. He's an all-pro. And I would say that the three guys who have made a difference, and that's another Terry Fontenot, bringing Malcolm Jenkins on board. It's not that Von Bell wasn't good. Malcolm Jenkins is just better. He's smarter. He talks. You can't be the quarterback of the defense on the back end and you don't communicate. So that's what Malcolm Jenkins brought to the table. But the dog is, and how can you not like anybody that has three names? They have to be good. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson.
Right.
I mean, this guy is the ultimate hybrid player. Talks so much smack. He even got Michael Thomas to fight with him in practice. And then everyone thought it was over with. And then, you know, Michael Thomas was to take it to the locker room, and then he gets his ass whipped. You better know who you're picking a fight with. No, think about that. Okay, so we left it on the field, and then you bring it to the locker room. Hey, it ain't over.
Right.
You got to know who you're picking a fight with. No, Chauncey Gardner. He wants to go by CD Deuce. I don't even know what that even means. But no, that's another guy. See, that's a draft guy, Malcolm Jenkins, pro personnel.
Right.
So the weak link is Marcus Williams, you know, on the back end. Now, how about Jack Rabbit? Who doesn't like anybody called Jackrabbit? Janoris Jenkins. I tell you what, opposite of – listen, when you look at their corners right now, they can hang with Tampa Bay. Now, it'll be interesting to see when Antonio Brown, where he's at, because when Lattimore was a rookie and Antonio Brown was with the Steelers, Lattimore got toast for about 180 yards.
Right.
But that was then. That Lattimore's a completely different player. But, you know, it's going to be both ways. Who makes which quarterback uncomfortable?
Right.
Drew Brees ain't running around anywhere. Tom Brady's not running around anywhere. They're going to step up in the pocket. And who's going to influence the quarterback, I think, comes out on top.
It is Bobby Hebert. You recognize the voice. Former Falcon, former Saint, the Cajun Cannon with us here on the Wade4.com hotline. Here's the thing, Bobby. Carl has made a living killing the Marcus Davenport pick. Was that just a miss?
Well, but that's not Fontenot. That's Jeff Ireland.
Okay.
That's
Jeff good to know.
Ireland's more. Yeah, Jeff. You know, Jeff Ireland's. He's the college guy.
Okay.
So that's why. You know, it's all a team. It's all teamwork. But Fontenot's wheelhouse with the Saints has been pro personnel, which he's been outstanding. And I'm sure he knows college personnel. But when they brought in Jeff Ireland to help Mickey and Sean, that was outstanding drafts and. And not so much with Davenport. I don't know. Davenport's too much a prima donna for me sometimes.
Say it.
He got a hangnail. He just sit out for a week. I don't know.
But you tried to tell him, Bobby. I tried to tell everybody. And everybody's like, oh, no, no, no. I said, Cam Jordan is the dude on that defensive line.
It ain't even close. It ain't even close. He ain't even as good as close to the guy he rotates with. He rotates with Trey Hendrickson.
Enough said.
No, Davenport can be hell when he's well, but when is he well?
He's right. Always hurt.
You know, to be held accountable, you got to be available.
Right.
And Davenport, he misses way too many games, I think.
All right. So small school, classic combine darling, Bobby Hebert. So you still think it's a close game, that even though you guys have been able to kill Tom Brady, create five interceptions, you still think that they're going to come up with something now? The Bucs offense, after they came back on us from the 17-point deficit, they've been cooking. So you think the Bucs can keep it close?
Yes, I do. I just want the Saints to win, damn it. I mean, I'm like, come on. This could be Drew Brees' last hurrah. I don't care if it'd be so boring they'd win 3-2. I mean, that will never happen. They just got to find a way to win. And you know what's crazy? This probably won't happen. Let's say the Saints win, and I don't think the Rams are going to upset the Packers. You know what happened? The Rams will be coming to the Super Bowl part two, Nola no call. What? Yeah. To go to the Super Bowl? The Ruffs better not be cheating. That'd be a riot for sure, COVID or no COVID.
Bobby Hebert, you're the best, my man. We really appreciate the info. Great stuff on everything that's going on there and Terry Fontenot. Bottom line, for Falcon fans, you're saying we're getting a guy who knows what the hell he's doing.
He knows what the hell he's doing. And listen, there's a reason why a number of teams want him. He knows what he's doing. He has the track record. He knows what he's doing. I don't think I'll be wrong about this. He has great communication skills. You talk to Deuce McAllister, who does the color. No, and he said, then Deuce a little bit more low key than me. But he said, no, that cat knows what he's doing. You know.
All right. Good stuff, man. Bobby, thanks so much, man.
Right.
We'll be watching. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Come on, for Drew Brees, a Falcons fan, you got to cheer for Drew, a great American. I mean, who hates Drew Brees? Remember when I told y'all this? My wife said, if you find anything bad about Drew Brees, I don't want to hear it. It's hopeless for mankind. Drew Brees is almost too good to be true.
He's the best, man. Bobby Hebert, the Cajun Cannon. One of the funniest things ever. Carl and I driving back from, it was a 2014, Carl, you and me driving back on I-10 and listening to Bobby handle the callers after the Falcons with Mike Smith beat the Saints in the Superdome. That was gold.
Hey, man, plenty more to get to as we continue to give you the information you need. Steve Coonan, Hawk CEO, is going to join us next.
I'm Will Guerra from your Game Time Traffic Center. New trouble in Gwinnett County as they clear a stall 85 northbound right before Highway 317. It's already backing up towards 316. On the west side, 285 south, still slow moving until they can clear that crash near Hollowell Parkway. If you're heading out towards the northern burbs on 400, that's pretty good. Roswell and Alpharetta. 75 is picking up a little extra company through Marietta. 575, that is a heavier trip up towards Highway 92, continuing up towards Holly Springs. From the Game Time Traffic Center, I'm Will Guerra on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Time to check in with the CEO of our Atlanta Hawks. This is Catching Up with Coonan on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Boy, it's been a busy day. We are still awaiting official word from the Falcons on the hiring of Arthur Smith, as being reported. And along the way, we've been trying to fill in the blanks as to what we might be getting with Terry Fontenot, the new general manager, and the new head coach. Lots more to get to, guys, and thanks to Bobby Hebert. A great interview yesterday, and a lot of guys responded to that. Right now, we want to say good afternoon to Steve Coonan, Hawks CEO, as the Hawks are back in action tonight against the Jazz.
And Carl, Steve, what a marketing coup, by the way. I mean, we know Steve Coonan, Carl, is a marketing genius, but I didn't know that he had pull in Vatican City. When you get the Pope to sign, this is Carl. I should have bet it this year. The Pope just signed off on the Hawks, Carl Dukes.
Yeah, I saw that with the jerseys, the MLK jerseys, which are still one of the dopest jerseys I've seen. But Steve, I want to ask you about what happened the other night, and then tonight. Is tonight in jeopardy? Or are we good?
We're good tonight. We're good tonight.
Okay.
And thank you for the kind words and blessings to all.
Hey, by the way,
you
now, we just
picture. You got to see this picture.
Yeah, I mean, and by the way, Carl, I hate to step on Steve's segment, but the Falcons website now and the Twitter is now reporting they've agreed to terms with Arthur Smith to become the new Falcons, I should say, Falcons head coach. Falcons saying that
really,
Arthur Smith
really,
is
really, Mike, yeah. Like we told our listeners all day, be patient.
Right. I mean, again, we already had, Steve, we had conspiracy
no,
theories
it's fine.
On Twitter.
Hey, I'm a fan also, man. Go Falcons.
Well, sorry.
And Steve, you know this. I mean, everybody, the reports were out there. We had it this morning talking about it, and everybody's like, why is he waiting? What's going on? These negotiations, you know, guys just don't walk in and sign a contract, you know, and that's part of this. So it's good to know that this is becoming official and all of that, and so we can now move forward. But let's talk about the Hawks real quick because I know that's why you're here, and obviously MLK Day.
I'm happy to talk about anything and everything.
And also the fact that you guys have pushed fans back. What's the official date on that now?
So we are going to have fans in the building starting on the 26th, the game against the Clippers. We just felt that there is no reason to rush this. We are dealing with a virus that seems to have its own mind and agenda, and so we're going to respect that. But we believe that on the 26th, we'll welcome back fans in the building and slowly go from there.
Yeah, I know that we're so excited, especially for what it's worth, now that it looks like Kyrie Irving's going to pay his penalty and get back with the Nets. There's just so much action now in the East between Giannis and, again, the idea that you get to see, you know, the beard now, which is, you know, again, we only get to see him once a year otherwise.
No, I mean, Brooklyn has taken the model of now a super team, and that should be great theater for everybody. And the NBA is one of the great soap operas of our time. And so from Kyrie not recognizing they have a head coach, and now you've got three superstars but a pretty thin bench, and you're just seeing a different time in the NBA. We're excited to be back playing. It's a tough season on players. I don't know if y'all have talked with all the excitement going on in the marketplace, which is great, that, you know, the NBA, basically, we've locked down our players for the next 2 weeks. There's no go to practice, go home. You know, no getting together, no team meals, no team anything, because there were 16 cases of COVID this week, and we've lost, I think, 9 games, including ours Wednesday night against Phoenix. So we just want to keep everybody healthy and keep pushing this forward.
Well, Cobb schools today decided that next week they will not be meeting in person, so they're going back to virtual, and they're going to, you know, play this out. But there have been rising cases with teachers and all this kind of stuff going on. So, Steve, it's everywhere. I mean, you can't get away from it. And the NBA is tasked with trying to not only just deal with that aspect of it, but also put games on. So you're right. I mean, Mike and I talked about how some of these guys would respond to, you know, a complete lockdown. I don't know if the NBA could do it. You obviously could put the protocols in place, but would guys follow them? But I also think that most of these guys do want to play. I mean, the goal is to play games and play the season so you get paid, right?
Well, yeah, and there is, obviously there is an economic piece, but there's also a competition piece. You know, we want to play. We want to win. We want to make the playoffs. We want to, you know, grow our franchise. Our players are, you know, absolutely willing to play and willing to make the sacrifices. But in some ways, this is a blameless virus because you can have a simple slip-up and something might happen. We had somebody on our team playing the other day who will be in Phoenix for the next 2 weeks, you know. So it's just the protocols are in place, but it's a difficult time for everybody. So we're not asking for anybody to play violence for the Atlanta Hawks or the NBA, but we just want everybody to be really, really careful.
Yeah, I mean, it is, you know, it's unavoidable. I know the bubble was a situation that nobody wants to have to go back to, but this, you know, this is probably, I guess, is the closest thing other than, you know, and by the way, who's doing bed checks? Is that going to be your responsibility on the road, or how's that work?
They don't take me on the road. There is no extraneous dead weight like I would be. There are 45 people, and executives are not considered to be essential workers, so I can spend the day with you on radio.
That's Steve Cota with us, guys, the CEO of our Atlanta Hawks, brought to you by Kumho Tires. But yeah, I mean, that's it's the reality we're in. We believe we're coming out of the woods with the I mean, again, the vaccination thing is his own controversy. It depends on who you're talking to and what state you're in. But do you see light at the end of the tunnel, though? I mean, just purely from
absolutely, I do. Absolutely. I mean, we're booking almost every day in October for concerts. We believe vaccinations will increase. The Falcons have already started giving some of Mercedes. We're talking. We'd like to be able to help. Every sports team wants to help. We want to get back to as close to normal as humanly possible. And sports are one of the things that create normalcy, if there was such a word, you know, in our society. And then this Monday, we're going to be recognizing with a very special MLK midday game that will be strange. Normally it's a great sellout and live choirs and all kinds of wonderful things, and it's just going to be different, but the game will go on.
Steve Kuhnen, Hawks CEO, joining us, guys, as he does on a weekly basis. So, yeah, let me ask you about the Falcons. I mean, now that it's official, they've come to terms. They have agreed to terms with Arthur Smith, former OC with the Titans. We're getting a new general manager. As a Falcons fan, not as a CEO of the Hawks, how do you view this? What do you think?
Well, I think they've done a lot of work. I mean, I happened to talk to Rich McKay quite a few times this week, and they've been doing a lot of work and a lot of interviews. They want to have a GM, and they want to have a coach that work together, that are going to long-term have the same vision, you know, and the coach has the vision of the system to play, and the GM has the vision of the players that will be successful in that system. And so I think they've done an incredibly good job of doing their homework and being thoughtful. And I'm excited. You know, historically, when Atlanta Falcons have changed coaches, there's been a lot of quick success. So I'm hoping that continues.
I mean, it's funny, Steve. I know from a marketing standpoint, for guys that are new to the show, Steve is such a likable dude, and he's also really knows his stuff because he came up in the marketing side in Coca-Cola and then at Turner. It's just tough. There was not really a knock it out of the park. As I said on Twitter, not a murderer's row of, like, coaches out there. Eric Bieniemy, and maybe he gets it somewhere else, and maybe he is holding out for somewhere else. Maybe it's the Texans. But, I mean, it's just there wasn't a lot of splash other than maybe Urban Meyer this round of coaching hires.
Yeah, there wasn't that signature we all got to get name. And Urban Meyer is a really interesting pick because he's had a lot of success, but he hasn't had a long-term tenure. And so I'll be curious to see how that works. But, again, I don't think the splash is what the ownership groups look for. I think they look for who can put together long-term success and who has a vision and a track record of, you know, being able to try to stay a step above and a step ahead in the NFL, because that sport, you know, as if you look 5 years ago, it was in the NBA, it was just the rise of Steph Curry and the three in the analytics. You look at the NFL, you've got, if you don't have a mobile quarterback, if you don't have, you know, a running game that can feature 11 players because your quarterback's running the ball, you don't have a new progressive offense.
Great point. Steve Kuhnen, have a great weekend. We're watching the Hawks. We're listening to them tonight here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game against the Jazz. We'll see how Trey and company play, and we'll be talking to you next week. Thanks so much.
Everybody have a safe weekend, and thank you. And big thanks to the Pope from the Atlanta Hawks for blessing our jersey. And one day when we have some time, I'll tell you all the story. It's incredible.
I know. Carl, we'll talk about it a little bit in Guy Talk, Carl, but I mean, this is the new slogan, Carl, for the Hawks. I mean, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Well, let's hope that's the case. Let's hope. All right, so guys have been all day on our backs. Why is this guy not taking the job? We told you. Lots of stuff goes on in these negotiations. But we're going to come back and tell you what we know about Arthur Smith next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.